So Jesus says something interesting. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Well, what Jesus is saying to his audience would have been common knowledge at that time, but to us today, it is not. In Jesus's day, as well as today in many parts of the third world, like Peru, where Pope Leo spent over two decades ministering with some very, very poor people. In Jesus' day, and like I say, in parts of the third world today, the shepherd spends his life with these flocks, and often many, many years with the same flock. And when the lamb is born, the shepherd is there to pick up the lamb and speak very loudly into the lamb's ear, so the lamb will have the voice of the shepherd imprinted upon him or her. So that this lamb now is going to follow only two voices, the voice of the shepherd and the voice of its mother. Those will be the two sounds it recognizes. So my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's how a shepherd is the biggest tool a shepherd has in directing his flight. It's because the sheep understand and follow his voice. That's his biggest tool in doing that. So Jesus makes that as an analogy to following him. You hear my voice. But I don't want to cut out the importance of the ewe, the mother of the lamb, because that's the other voice the lamb's going to listen to. And with most flocks in Jesus's day and in places like Peru today, those shepherds are sticking with that flock for a very, very long time. So the odds are pretty good that the ewe, the mother, was also a lamb who heard the shepherd's voice. So the lamb has two voices to keep them safe and to guide them. And of course, the ewe is also doing the same thing, helping the lamb guide the shepherd into the right way. And I think that's very true in our faith lives and how we grow up in the faith. I was thinking back about my mother and her influence on my faith. You know, she taught me my first prayers, and with me and my little sisters kneeling before the statue of the Infant of Prague. Maybe some of you remember the statue of the Infant of Prague. Maybe some of you have them. My mother had a particular devotion to the Infant of Prague. And we kneeled down and she lit a little candle, and she taught me the Hail Mary and my sisters as well. And the Glory Be and the Angel of God and the Our Father. And she was always there with us at Mass all the time. Of course, so was my father. My father never missed Mass, and he was very devout as well. But my mother was there, and she was helping me guide me to the Lord. And I like that analogy of your mother being a guide to the Lord, because it parallels the Virgin Mary, the mother of us all. During this month of May, when we honor the Virgin Mary, Mary is someone who also guides us to the Lord. You know, all Marian devotion points to Jesus. Mary, anything we say to Mary, it's to guide us closer to her son, to point us so we can hear the voice of the Lord. And because of the importance, I think, in the faith of their children, I would now like to have all the mothers please stand up for their special Mother's Day blessing. So all the mothers, please stand up. And if you're with your mother, I want you to put your hand on her shoulder or hold her hand or do something nice like that. It would be nice. And if you're close enough, maybe to your aunt over here, you could scoot down and put your hand on her shoulder. That'd be nice. There you go. All right. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to your children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers, that the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord, and may Almighty God bless all of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How about a round of applause for all of our mothers? I'd like to conclude by telling you a story. I'm often asked this after I play the cello at a funeral or a wedding, but I've never really talked about this at a Sunday as to how I came about to playing this instrument, and this is a perfect, perfect day to explain it. I was 9 years old. It was 1966. I was in Mrs. Paxton's fourth grade classroom on Walker Elementary, located on Michigan Avenue, just west of Wayne. It's in Canton. It's now called Walker Winter Elementary. And Mr. Pahulski, a music director, walked into that fourth grade room with a violin and a viola, which is just a little bit bigger than a violin, and a cello. This is a cello. And I was the only kid big enough in the classroom to hold the cello. I went home that day. I said, "Mom, I want to learn to play the cello." Mom said, "What's a cello?" This is before phones, as you couldn't Google anything and pop up a picture. None of that existed back then. So I'm trying to describe what it was. Well, that Sunday, my mother turned on her favorite show, which she never missed, Lawrence Welk. Anybody remember Lawrence Welk? Okay. Well, that big band of Lawrence Welk did have something that most big bands didn't. He had a cellist in his band. And that day, that cellist played this. And as soon as she got done playing that piece, I said to my mom, "That's a cello." And my mother said, "Well, that's my favorite piece of music ever. You learn to play that, I'll take care of the lessons. And so, in honor of my late mother, all of the mothers present here, and the Virgin Mary, the mother of us all who guides us to Christ, happy Mother's Day.